Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Hey man, come on, let's go to Romans chapter 13, verse 10. We're going to go verse 10 through 14. When you have it, say, I got it. Got it on the screen. All right. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Amen, amen. Come on. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, don't shake me. Don't shake me. Don't shake me. Don't shake me. Come on, look at somebody else and say, don't shake me. Come on, you can be seated. You can be seated. As we're talking about paying attention, attention is a real precious commodity in this day and time, right? To get someone's attention, really, you're getting something worth more than money. Because in this day and time, when you're looking at all the things that pull on our attention, it is very hard for us to really pay attention. It's hard for us to pay attention for long periods of time. It's hard for us to pay attention enough to be able to get what we need or even to pay attention to people to actually see the person past what they're saying. Amen? So when we talk about paying attention, we're really talking about paying it forward. You know, that it's going to cost you something to pay attention. You know, there's different things that we do when we want people to pay attention to us. And sometimes that involves different costs. And we're going to kind of dive into that just a little bit. But the word attention means the act or state of applying your mind to something. So attention is not just a look, but it is the thought pattern. And this is what God is concerned about. What is on your mind, whatever's on your mind has your attention. It's not always necessarily what's in your hands or what you're working on, because you could be working on other things, but your mind on something else, right? That thing that's on your mind, the situation, the individual, the relationship, the bill, the money, the job, whatever is on your mind has your attention. So you have to ask yourself, how much is God on your mind? Does he have your attention? And it's very hard if a person doesn't have your attention. How can they really communicate to you? Right? We have that issue because sometimes with phones, Facebook, and this is really Facebook is one of the major things that really exploits this because this is, we know we all want attention, right? Who in here don't want attention? There's nobody in here that does not want attention in some shape, form, or fashion. And Facebook has utilized this human need, exploited it for you to be able to put up posts, put up pictures to see how many likes you get, comments, how many comments you get on your comment, how many comments you get about the thing that you're saying that you're ranting and raving about, how many comments you get or how many post reactions that you get about the way you're eating that and what you're deciding to eat tonight and what your child did this time. It uses this to bring attention to you. Because then you get notifications, right? You get notifications of that there's some people somewhere, whether they're in your space, in your world, or, you know, when I say in your world, meaning in your circle, or wherever they're at, they press like on your thing. Right? So they paid attention. They paid attention long enough to read it, react to it, think about it. And this is something that has exploited social media as a whole, has exploited this, right? The human need for attention. This is why going viral is a big thing. That's why they'll pay you when you go viral. Why? Because now you're worth something, because attention is worth something. And this kind of came from, I heard a man talking about the epidemic of this now, how knowledge used to be that thing that was really valuable, you know, getting knowledge. But the fact that you can Google everything, now knowledge is not that valuable. Attention now has trumped knowledge. Meaning somebody to sacrifice their own interests and sacrifice their own time to pay attention to you is more important now than somebody actually giving you knowledge or giving you instruction. We see people walking away from God because somebody paid them attention. Come on now. That can pull you away from the Lord, pull you away from your walk with God because somebody paid you attention. Amen. So it's the act or the state, the act or state of applying your mind to something. It is also a condition of readiness for such attention, involving especially a selective narrowing of or focusing on consciousness and receptivity. Pretty much saying you're concentrated. I concentrate on this thing. When's the last time God got 5 concentrated minutes from you? All right. Nothing else. Not what you about to do next. Not what you about to cook. Not what your husband said, what your wife said, what the kids got to do. Not this bill, this dude. I'm talking about 5 concentrated minutes that God is just me and you. Because this is what we want, right? This is what we like from people. Put your phone down. You know, we make rules. When you go out to eat, you know, me and my wife, we went out to eat. She said, okay, so we're going to make a rule that no phones at the table, right? I said, yeah, that's cool with me. So you can have my phone. But we still ended up pulling out the phone, checking on the kids and stuff like that. But it pulls on your attention. So you're missing stuff, even with people that are around you, close to you, that even sometimes God has put around you, you are pulled away from that. And you can't get what you really need from relationships because your attention is everywhere else. It's so divided. So that attention is valuable. And it's so valuable that people like to pay for it. Right? I know some of y'all women can testify that you done went out with a dude that you really wasn't, you know, interested with, really. But because he was trying to take you to a nice place, he paid for your attention, even though he kind of knew that you really wasn't interested. Right? Meaning you used somebody, but you gave your attention over. You say, well, all you're going to get is my attention. That's it. Long as you're going to pay for this meal, then yeah, I give you my attention. For some of us, long as you was going to pay for that meal, you gave a little bit more than your attention. You gave physical attention. That meal actually opened up some other things. Right? It's the truth. I know it might be a shameful truth, but it is the truth. And this is why men will pay for your attention. There's a whole sex industry on this particular, exploiting this subject of attention. This is why porn videos are you know, at an all-time high. Porn addiction is at an all-time high. Prostitution, escorts. Because not just men paying for attention, we got women paying for attention too. If you really talk about even the prostitution or the escorts, that particular industry, not everybody's having sex. Some people are getting paid just to talk. Because of the human need just to have somebody there to talk to. They'll say, well, yeah, well, how much is it going to cost? You don't have to do nothing. You can keep all your clothes on. I just want to talk to you. I just want to talk to somebody. Let's watch a movie together. Let's go out and get something to eat. Because I don't have anybody that's willing to do that, I'll pay for that. Or with some people, because of their high level of their position, they can't find the right type of individual to be with that's not intimidated by their position or by their power, by their money. They'll say, well, I'll pay an escort to go out with me. And that might be $1,000 for one night. $500. I'm not saying I know because I ain't paid for no escorts. I've never paid No escorts, no prostitutes, no nothing. I pay for porn. I have paid for porn, but I've never paid for no prostitutes, no escorts, okay? I'm just saying. So they'll give that money and that time to be able to get somebody's attention. Just think about it. When you feel like somebody ignoring you, that thing make you so mad. Especially if you really trying to talk to them. If you really like, you know, I have something I needed to say to you. And it looked like, and they may not even be ignoring you, but they doing other stuff. Maybe they multitasking, right? But you just like, no, I don't need you to multitask. I need you to listen, focus on me. That's it. That's it. I don't need you to do nothing else. I don't want you to be on your phone. I don't want you to answer email. I don't want you to text nobody. I don't want you to say, hold on, I got to answer this call. I don't want you to do none of that. I need you to pay attention to me. Just think about it. Think about it. That thing burned you up, right? Yeah. It burned up men, too. How we react? We just be like, oh, okay. And we just go on about our business and be like, well, you don't seem like you want to listen anyway, so I'm going to just go on and do what I'm going to do anyway. Right? Or I'll just talk about it later on, maybe. Yeah. Sometimes I've had to discipline myself to be like, well, if my wife interrupts me, it doesn't mean she's not listening to me. Right? Because sometimes she'll interrupt me with a different thought because of how her mind is. I know her because of how her mind is. She's trying to interrupt me because she wants to get something out. But I used to be like, well, I'm talking right now. In my head, I'm like, can you just listen to what I'm saying? Can you shut your mind down just for a minute and listen to what I'm saying? Is your mind engaged with what I'm talking about? Yeah. But I had to use discipline because I used to start to shut down. I said, oh, she'd be like, well, what was you saying? I'm like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Never mind. We'll talk about it later. Lying. Cause I won't gonna talk about it later. I won't gonna talk about it later because you already proved to me that what I'm saying, I need to go talk to somebody else about this because you're not really interested. So you gotta understand how a person wants to be paid attention to. Because for a lot of people, for all of us, really, attention communicates love. Attention communicates at least care. That this person cares enough for me to pay attention to me. Even if I feel like I'm needy. Because some of us, and you feel like you're a needy individual. You need it, so you seem like you require a lot of attention. Right? And because you know you require a lot of attention, you just like, well, that's what I require. So you just gonna have to structure your life around that. Amen. So even in class, in school, they want you to do what? Pay attention. Pay attention. Why? Because if you cannot learn if you don't pay attention. Meaning your mind has to be engaged with what is being taught. You can't just sit in the seat and take up space. Right? So it takes time and concentration. That's what's being paid at school and class. No money, really. Not unless you're going to college. Then they don't really care if you pay attention because they're getting paid anyway. Right? So in conversation, we want people to listen to us. And for a lot of us, we have to make sure that we're paying attention to God for those of us that want to obey him, right? For those of us that want the next command from him or want the next instruction or order from him, we have to be attentive to him. To pay attention to somebody is not just to spend that time with them, but to be attentive to who they are as an individual. Man, I can't pay attention to you the way I think that this thing should be for you. Meaning, if I pay attention to somebody, I got supposed to cater to them to a certain extent. And especially when it comes to God, if I'm going to pay attention to God, I have to cater to how God wants to be paid attention to. He don't want to be paid attention to when all you got is scraps left at the end of the day, and all you got is tiredness for him, and all you got is obligation for him. You know? We understand obligation. He understands that, but he does, you know, desire a relationship that you actually want him. Right? You don't want to deal with somebody who always seems like, well, I only come around you when I need you. God is the same way. Right? So when we pick up the scriptures here in Romans chapter 13, well, I think I had one more. Oh, no. Yeah, we're going to get into that later. In Romans chapter 13, verse 10, it talks about love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Now, this ill is talking about being troublesome, injurious, destructive. In order for us to pay attention to people, we have to be intentional. Meaning you got to actually do it on purpose. You can't say you're paying attention and you're really not. You can't say you're paying attention and you can't even repeat what was just said. Just be honest, you was not paying attention. Because even here, when we're talking about love worketh no ill to his neighbor, if we're actually loving people, meaning we shouldn't have a destructive behavior about how we're doing stuff. Ignoring someone that you say you love is destructive. That's destructive. If you say you love them, and this is just not just in relationship, this is talking about when we talk about Christianhood and we're talking about the church, your neighbor is the person sitting next to you, around you. So the demand of love from the gospel's standpoint is I'm supposed to love you the way God loves you. And I'm supposed to love you the way I love myself. So if I don't want to be ignored, then I don't supposed to ignore you. Right? If I ignore you, then I'm being troublesome. if I'm not loving you, I'm being troublesome. Yeah. You're a troublemaker if you don't love. And it takes you paying attention to people to be able to love. It takes you paying attention. Meaning I can't love you the way that I can't love you the way that I think you want to be loved or what's convenient for me. Right? Because when we're talking about God, it ain't always convenient to love God. He requires demands just like you do in a relationship. So why do we think that this is so out the box when it comes to God? Like, God, this is just so much. But in your relationship, your other person in the relationship, whether it be a friendship or whatever, might say that about you. This seems like it's a lot to deal with you. It seems like it's a lot. But for me not to work no ill towards you, then I give that love that's going to cost me something. It's going to cost my concentration. It may cost some of my money. It may cost some of my time. It's going to cost me shifting my mind on you when I really want to be thinking about my own stuff. Some people we just simply haven't paid attention to. And they're still angry about it. This is why they get so upset when it seems like just for a moment that you didn't hear them. Forget it. You're ready to go all the way off because they have not felt like that you have really been listening for a long time. Right. It's not just the first time. All right? Come on, give me Proverbs 11 and 30. Proverbs 11 and 30. So the fruit of righteousness, we're going to go over part B. The fruit of righteousness is the tree of life, right? But he that winneth the soul is wise. The Lord began to deal with me about this scripture earlier this week. And he said, you know, you have only used this scripture most of the time talking about evangelism. Right. He said, but have you won the soul of your wife? Do you have enough wisdom? Are you praying for wisdom to how to win her mind, how to win her intellect, how to win her emotions? Because just because you're in a relationship or friendship with somebody, just like it is with God, you have to win that person. Meaning you have to win them to open up to you. You're winning their soul. You're dealing with another soul. For some of us, we only think that we're dealing with another person. You don't realize this person has a soul. They have their own desires. They have their own intentions. They have their own plans for life. They're trying to bring all that to this relationship that you're trying to build with them and say, okay, how is this going to work together? Give me the wisdom. And you have to ask God for wisdom. How do I win this person? How do I win them? How do I win their mind over? How do I win their intellect over there? Now, how do I win their emotions over? Because it goes past just a few gifts and a few hugs and a few calls and stuff like that. It goes past that. It's called consistency. Consistency shows that you are paying attention for a long period of time. For some of us, we're ADD or ADHD in relationships. Meaning you get tired of this person, then you want to jump to another person. You just, you know, hey, I'm tired of this person. I don't really like what they say, so I'm going to go over here to another person. I'm going to do this, and I'm bored with this person. I'm going to go over here to another. You're not staying in a relationship, friendship, long enough to learn anything about yourself or the other person. Because it requires too much. But it requires wisdom. For some of us, we say, you know, hey, I'll deal with you the way I want to deal with you. That's foolish. I got to ask God for wisdom. How do I deal with you? How do I win you? How do I talk to you? How do I love on you? How do I forgive you? How do I let you go? How do I show you that I love you? Because when you're in that struggle, that in between, when you're having that tug of war with somebody and you feel like you're not being heard and you feel like this person don't really love you like that. Because some of us, you know, are just being tolerated. You feel like you're just being tolerated. You feel like you just this person just around because they are obligated to be around. Because they promised they was going to be around. They kept the vow that they was going to be around. So they still here, but they're not paying attention to me. They don't care about my day. They don't care about what happened. They don't care about the pain that I feel or the inconvenience of what's going on in my soul, in my mind, my emotions, my desires. Come on, take me bone back. So look at your neighbor and say, when they soul. Pay attention enough to get the wisdom from God to win the soul of your friend and the people that you're in relationships with. Amen? So he said, "What? Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." So we can safely say that sin is not love. I know sometimes maybe we have never looked at those two things, but if I'm sinning, then I'm not loving. So if I sin with you, there's no way that I loved you. You may have love for the individual, and you may possess love, but your actions did not show forth that you loved them in that moment. So if I don't have enough love in me to keep myself out of sin, then I really don't love. Yeah. Let me break it down for you. When I first got saved, I had a girlfriend, right? She helped me get saved, saying I needed Jesus because I was just going through so bad. I think she just felt sorry for me. I was just really, really angry individual, like for real. So she was like, you know, why don't you go to church or something, you know? Have you ever thought about it? And she wasn't really saved, but she knew about God. You know, so I got saved, but then, you know, after we got saved, you know, this is my girlfriend before I was saved, so it ain't like we was practicing righteousness, you know what I'm saying? Like, there was not a practice of righteousness going on. some lust, fornication, all that stuff was going on. So after I got saved, this is a woman I'm already saying, I love you. By this time, the Lord had to start dealing with me after I got saved. So you don't love her. You don't love her because you sin with her. And if you sin with her, you don't love her. Because if you really loved her, you wouldn't be helping her to go to hell. So you don't love her. This is just lust. That's all it is. And it's hard for us to deal with that in relationships to say, you know what? This is just lust. Because they feel somewhat of the same. But the thing about love, love is always going to fulfill those things that are righteous. It's going to be holy. It's going to be pure. There's going to be some patience there. There's going to be some selflessness there. Some sacrifice there. Now, for some people, lust, they do all that too until they get what they want. So we can safely say sin is not love. It's nowhere near close to love. So anytime that you say, okay, I sin with this individual, or if I sin in this relationship or this friendship, then that was not love. Even if you cared for the person, it still wasn't love. It was lust and pride. That's what it was. But we don't want to just call it for what it is. Yes, I sinned. We want to say, well, I was struggling and I was this. And I was, yeah, okay. When you didn't forgive them, you sinned. Some of you may be still in sin in your relationship this morning because you would not forgive. So it's hard for you to love a person you can't forgive. Right? Because you're holding something against them. But even your unforgiveness is pride. Because you feel validated to hold on to your unforgiveness. Pay attention to yourself. Set your mind on you. How many times have God forgiven you? Just think about it. And I know some forgiveness is a process, but how many times have God forgiven you? So for us to say, well, I just don't think I can let that go. I don't think. But God forgave you, pulled you back in, pulled you back close, restored you, cleansed you, was patient with you. He did all of that. Amen. So we know sin is not love. Amen. And it's hard when somebody does sin against us and they supposed to have loved us. How do I deal with that? Because really, they wasn't paying no attention to me. They was only paying attention to what they wanted themselves. Amen. So it's something to get over. It's something that you have to work through at times. But the only thing that keeps you working through that is I got to forgive them because I was forgiven. Because I was forgiven. You have to remember that. Because God has forgiven me for so much, I have to remember I can forgive others. God, give me the power to forgive. Give me the faith to forgive. Give me what I need to be able to forgive so I don't get bitter. Because when you go to bitterness, then you only got a whole nother set of issues. Amen. So when we're talking about shaking, you know, most of us don't like being shaken in the morning, do we? How many people like being woken up by somebody doing like this? Come in there and just wake up. That thing for some of us, be ready. You better get out of bed and fight immediately. I mean, immediately you are upset. You're waking up mad. Right? But for some of us, you have to realize you didn't wake up when you was called. You didn't wake up when you was touched. You didn't wake up when you was just, you know, poked. You wasn't woken up then. You only was woken up when somebody got, when they had to really shake you out of your sleep. Right. Yeah, we don't like it. We don't like it. But this is what God is doing with some of us. He didn't wake you up with the warning. He didn't wake you up with the word. He didn't wake you up with all these different things. None of this woke you up. So now he's like, okay, I'm just going to shake you. your life, I'm going to shake. I'm going to shake your life. I'm going to shake your mind. I'm going to shake your emotions. I'm going to shake you. Because he said, what? And that knowing the time, because there is a time period that we're entering into that you have to pay attention to, otherwise you're going to miss it. Meaning you got to set your mind on what does God want from me right now? Not what I used to give him. I'm talking about right now. What is he requiring from me right now? That is the thing you got to focus on. What is he requiring from me right now? Because this word time here, it is the kairos time. Meaning it is a opportune time or seasonal time. Meaning it is a time that only comes around every now and then. This is not a time that just come around every season. This is not a yearly time. Right? For most of us in the room, you are in a time, an opportune time for something to begin to change and shift in your own personal walk with God. It is an opportune time, but if you miss your opportunity, you don't know when it's going to come around again. But this opportune time, you may not necessarily understand everything. But you got to pay attention to what God wants to do. Pay attention how God wants to use you. And that's going to cost you something. Even as we're talking about paying attention, it's going to cost you your concentration. It's going to cost you your time. And it may even cost you some money because you may have to invest in what God wants to do in your life. You say, God, I want to grow. Okay. Growing may mean you fasting. Growing may mean you studying more. Growing may mean you cutting off the TV. Stop binging on Netflix. Right? Netflix will catch you up. Growing may mean that. Meaning your life, with the shaking that he's doing, if you don't respond by saying, okay, I need to get myself together. And I'm going to have to make some drastic changes about my walk in order to be able to get him what he's trying to reveal to me. Many people get to a place in their life, in their walk, and they miss it because they say, well, this is too much. This is too much. I didn't want this. I wasn't ready, or I wasn't warned. God has no obligation to give you any kind of warning about the time shifting. You're supposed to be paying attention. Pay attention. Why have things shifted in your life? Why have things shifted on your job? Why have things shifted in your family, in your finances? Why is this happening? Ask God why. Don't just get frustrated about it. Ask God why. Why? Why is this going on? What time is it? What am I buying? What is trying to distract me from what you're trying to do? Because for many of us, the job is distracting you, the money is distracting you, the past is distracting you, you know, yourself is distracting you, but all of that really got to come down if you're going to catch it. It's an opportune time. Look at your neighbor and say, it's an opportune time. What kind of time is this? It's an opportune time, knowing that this is the time. This is the time that which you have been praying for, that which you have been trying to believe God for, that which you have needed God to do, he's ready to do it, but it requires something from you. See, many times we love prophecy, we love prophetic words because we just love being talked to by God, but we don't like the obligation that comes with getting that word. We don't like the obligation of getting new information. We don't like the obligation of carrying out what God has already said he's going to do. We like the word. Oh, the word. God said he's going to bless. God said, what if God start talking and say, well, I'm going to shake up everything in your life till I break you? Because he do talk like that. I know we love the prophets that just talk about the blessing and this and all this other stuff, but God is in the mindset of breaking right now. I'm going to just let you know that. For some of us that have been resisting him, resisting him, resisting his way, he is coming for you to break you. to break you for a specific purpose, for his purpose. So it ain't going to be about you being fulfilled or you being happy or you being, you know, it's going to be about, can you get to the end of this breaking? Yeah. Because see, some of us, we say, well, you know what? Well, God, you know, that's enough. And he said, nope, it's not. It's not enough. Right when you starting to cry, it's just getting started. It's just getting good to him. Yeah. It's just getting good to him. It's the opportune time for God to begin to start breaking you down. For God to begin to start resisting your pride, resisting your way, resisting what you think is right. To make you get confused about what you thought about him and say, you know what, God, let me learn you all over again because I really don't know. Yeah, it's an opportune time. So look at your neighbor and say, it's an opportune time. Don't miss this opportunity to get closer to God. Because this is what we cry for. This is what we pray for. God, I want to know you. Right? This knowing is going to be through a breaking. The breakthrough is not going to be in your situation. It's going to be in you. See, God wants a breakthrough in you. Not just in your situation. Because something, your situation is not going to change immediately until you do. Oh, yeah. God know how to stand just like this and say, I'm not moved by your begging. I'm not moved by you upset. I'm not moved by your physical pain. I'm not moved by any of that. But we say, well, this is mistreatment. Well, God don't love me. Yes, he do. He loved you enough to do the same thing you do with your child. Train them past their pain. Past their discomfort, past what they think is right, past what they agree with. Yeah. They don't agree with cleaning up when you tell them to clean up, but you love them enough to say, get in there and get off the TV. How about this? Just don't watch TV the whole week since this is so important to you. Just shut it all the way down and do what I told you to do. Yeah. But see, that same mindset you have about your child, God got about you. Yeah. I've been telling you to do this. I've been telling you that I want to do this in your life. You have ignored me, or you thought that you hit it. You thought that you got close enough to appease me, but you have not. We hate when God keeps on requiring more and more and more and more. But yes, he does. Keep on doing that. Because just like you do with your child, I have a goal. I have a standard. And if you're going to stay in the house, you got to meet that standard. If you want the privileges of being fed and being taken care of and being warm and being cool when it's hot outside, if you want these privileges of being clothed, if you want all these privileges, then or you can go and fend for yourself. All right? I know it's quiet. Come on, God. Give God some praise. Give God some praise. Give God some praise. Hallelujah. See, this shift is not just here, but it's going to be here too. Some of your relationships are going to shift, and there's going to be a demand in a relationship that you have not been accustomed to. Because God can't pour this new wine in old wineskins. You want more? I want the new. I want the glory. I want the glory. Okay. You're going to get it. You're going to get the glory. He going to get it. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. He going to circumcise. He going to do everything he need to do to get the glory. That's what he going to do. Hallelujah. Yeah, he's going to put some demands on you you don't like. So it's an opportune time or seasonal time. It is a fixed and definite time. Meaning this time, this is the time. You don't know when this time is going to come around again. It is fixed. This is the time that he says, okay, this is the fullness of this time that I have planned to do this. Right? So responding or paying attention to that time, everything else is hooked up to that. Everything else that God said he's going to do, it hooked up to that. Being prepared for the next steps that God wants to reveal in your life is hooked up to that. It is a time when things are brought to crisis for a decisive epoch waited for. For a decisive time waited for. Things are brought to a place of crisis. See, we don't think that God would do that. Cause crisis in your life. But he will. To break you. To cause you to submit. To cause you to stop depending on yourself. To cause you to open up your eyes. Because what he said now, it's the high time. And these two times are now agreeing. He says, not only is it an opportune time, this is a chronos time. And it's the natural season for these things to happen as well. So the natural and the spiritual are actually lining up together. He said, this time is the perfect time for this to happen. For you to do what? To awake out of sleep. Come on, shake your neighbor. Shake him. Shake him. I know he said, don't shake me. Don't shake me. Shake him. Shake him. Shake him. Shake him. Wake up. Tell him, wake up. 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 Come out of your slumber. Your spiritual slumber. Come out of your place of insensitivity to God. Your place of insensitivity to the things of God. Your place of non-repentance. Come out of that. It's time to wake up. Yeah, yeah. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. You know what it's time to wake up? You know, because it's time to go to work. Most of the time for some of us, wake up because you're going to be late. You don't want to be late to this. God trying to make sure you're not late. That's why he said, I'm going to shake you in your finances. I'm going to shake you in your relationship. I'm going to shake you in your communication. I'm going to shake you in other relationships and friends. I'm going to shake you everywhere until you wake up. Until you say, God, it's you that I need and alone. That's it. I don't want nothing else. You. And then you tell me everything else that need to come in line behind that. So I trust you with all of it. Wake up. Look at your neighbor, tell him again, wake up, wake up, wake up. Why? Because some of us, we've been asleep. We've been asleep. Sleep out of fear. Right? Too scared to be awake. You know, it's a big time, you know, big thing now for you to be woke. You know, that person woke if they got a lot of knowledge. Right. Tripping. You ain't got no, you ain't woke just because you got some knowledge. Take a book to do that. If that's the case, your child is woke when they go to school. Right? That knowledge is not even validated. And for you to be able to even say, okay, you woke. If you are awake and paying attention, then you got to pay attention to it all. Meaning I have to actually consume the knowledge that's in contradiction to the knowledge that I believe is true to weigh out the truth. What's true? And what is this fruit producing in me? What is this knowledge producing in me? I'm not going to go down that road. I'm not. That's a personal road. That's a personal road. I'm not going down that road. Amen. Amen. People who seek knowledge, they're still asleep because they haven't met truth. Knowledge is not truth. Truth is the man Jesus Christ. And in him, you find everything that you're supposed to find in about yourself. You come to him and realize how sinful you are and how much you need to be saved, how much you need to be rescued, how much healing you really need, how much you're not used to love, how much you're not used to correction, how much you're not used to somebody receiving you and acceptance and all this other. You find out all of that when you come to the truth of who Jesus is. Because for acceptance for some of us is it means that I get to do what I want to do, or I get, everybody agrees with me. But that's not acceptance. Acceptance is really when somebody begins to correct you, begins to help you, begins to instruct you and show you where you're wrong, and you can agree that this is the truth. Lord, it's quiet. It's quiet. So some of us, we've been sleep out of fear, sleep out of just being tired. You woe out. Life done woe you out. Life done just wearied you. I've been there. But understand, when you sleep, that's one of the most vulnerable times in your life. Because if you don't wake up and somebody come in your house, how are you going to defend yourself? There's no defense if you sleep. So if you're not awake, how are you going to defend yourself? If you're not awake spiritually, how are you going to defend yourself? How are you going to stay ready, paying attention to what God wants to do, not being distracted by other things, to trust him with everything else while you say, God, your obedience, my obedience to you is the thing that I'm focusing on. And I'm going to believe you that you're going to do the rest. Right? But for some of us, that's not good enough because God has not proven himself to you. And so you just need to have that conversation with him. Or he has proven himself and you just think that he hasn't. Or you like the children of Israel when you say, well, you know what, God, I need you to do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. You're never satisfied with the last move. It wasn't enough to convince you that he's God yet. He's still trying to win your soul. You know what's the truth? I've been there. I'm not judging nobody. God, yes, do it again. And then God said, well, I don't have to. Not to prove that I'm God. Because I've already proven that to you. You got, y'all proven enough to you that you should have faith now. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Hallelujah. We ain't talking about Bone Thugs and Harmony. Wake up. Wake up. I'm talking about the first of the month. Nothing like that. Wake up. Come on now. Right. Wake up. It's time to wake up and pay attention. Open up your eyes. When you wake up, you open up your eyes and you're able to see how much stuff in your life you don't want to look at. What about yourself? Do you want to look at you? Because when you woke, you're able to see you. In the process of preparation, you have to wash you. You have to get you ready. Right? So you got to look at you to make sure that you're prepared for what you're about to do. So when you don't look at you, you're trying to be sleep to you. That's what God wants to wake you up to you. Wake you up to be able to understand that not just the negative stuff, not just the sinful stuff, but there are some things that is a higher calling, there's a higher purpose about your life that you really have not grasped yet. And you understand you haven't grasped it because you don't understand the demand or the requirement from your life. You don't understand the pressure. But when you understand what God has given to you, at least a little bit more, then you'll understand the pressure and you'll understand why he deals with you, why the way that he deals with you. Right? Because sometimes we just want to wake up to the sin that you deal with. But part of the sin is denying your true identity in God. I know we say in the church, when I go see him, I want him to say, well done. Come on, let's really analyze that. That means you got to get done. Think about it. That means that there are things that you have to accomplish. Thou good and faithful servant. It's not just well done, thou good believer. No. Now, good and faithful servant, meaning that is work that he has already required for you to do. Right? That's what we say. We want to see him in peace, right? I want to see our woman to say, well done. Right? Can he say well done right now? I know he can't say that for me. No. We too resistant for him to say well done. We complain about his will too much for him to say well done. Do you know people in the Bible got killed for complaining? I'm not saying you about to get killed. What I'm saying is God has a strong distaste for complaining. Lord, I not say I didn't plan to go this way, but amen. 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 So you got to wake up. You got to wake up to who you are, what God wants to do, and it's time to get in position. When you pay attention, this is something that they do in the army as well. You pay attention. You stand at attention because you're waiting for the next command. You're waiting for the next order. You're waiting for the next thing that those that are in charge have been put over you to give you to do. You understand order. You understand you're not the person in charge when you're in the ranks. You understand you have to follow. And if you don't, it's a crime, right? It's a crime, meaning you go to court. They judge you. We in a kingdom. This is a kingdom. God is the king. He's the one that's in charge. So he's looking for people standing at attention, ready for the next command. God, I finished the last thing you told me to do. Can we say that? There's some things I can't say that about. And that's things that he reminds me. And I'm like, well, God, you know, I want to speak to you. He was like, well, you haven't finished what I said. Remember this? I've been telling you to do this for 10 years. I've been telling you to work on this for 5 years. For some of us, it's not just a week. It's years. God has been saying, I have been long-suffering in this area. Yeah, I've been long-suffering with you. I've been patient with you and everything. But now I'm going to put a demand in this area. Because you and me say we won't change. You said you wanted it, and I want it. So there's going to be a demand in this area until there's change. Right? Hallelujah. Yeah. It's good for us. It's good for us. It's good for us. Because so we don't realize how hard, because we haven't paid attention to really how difficult it is for some of us to change. Right? It's been difficult. You got 15 excuses. I mean, ready excuse. These are your ready excuses. I'm talking about like, this is what you go to. Your go-to excuses. These are your validated reasons to you that why this thing cannot happen in your life. These are your validated excuses. But that's all they are, they're excuses. Right? Excuses. Well, I can't do that because, man, it's hard. Okay. Yeah, it's hard. All right. What's next? What's your next thing that you're about to say? You know, it's hard. It's not going to get any easier if you wait to do it. See, I know, Lord, I got some help. I got some help. I got some help. Got a little bit of help in here today. Yeah, but this is a good word to me. I want all of him. I want all of what he has for me. So I got to stand under the pressure of his demands on my life. I got to stand under the pressure of what he's saying. Okay, no, I'm telling you to do this now, not later. Now, make a way to make this happen. Utilize your mind, utilize your finances, utilize everything. Make this happen. I'm telling you to do it now, not later. Amen. I think sometimes we want church magic. I know sometimes I did. Just lay hands on me. Make it go away. Just poof. I hit the floor and I came up like Jesus. You know, I'm ready to go forth in the power of the anointing. No. No, 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 no. No. Just like Jesus walked it out, we have to walk it out. Amen. For what? Now our salvation is nearer than when we believe. Meaning now those things that we have been believing for are gathering together. Ready. It's close. Close. It's now. It's nearer than when you first believed. So God has said, okay, all of that may have been part of the process, but now I'm requiring change for a purpose. Not just because I'm God. It's because it's for a purpose for your life. To elevate your life. To help your life come to where I have required it to be. Where I want it to be. A higher level of functionality in your life. Getting rid of the dysfunction in your life. Amen. The dysfunction inside of ourselves. Amen. He's saying that's close. It's close. It's nearer than when you first believe. He said, what now? The night is what? Far spent. The night is over. When night is over, you do what? You're supposed to open up your eyes. For some of us, we love to sleep in. Oh, just if I could just get a day to wake up at 12. Wake up at 12 p.m. and went to bed at 9 p.m. Or went to bed at 11 p.m. If I could get 12 hours of sleep. For some of us, that is what you want. Like, you want that much sleep. Like, that is lovely to wake up in this daytime. Like, oh, yes. Like, whoo, I just got all this extra sleep. Right? Still tired. Still worn out. All that extra sleeping, it didn't help. You know what I learned physically? You get better sleep when you work hard. Some of us have not worked your soul hard enough to get rest. You haven't worked your soul hard enough. Meaning you have not given it to God enough. It has not come subject to you. It has not come subject to God. You have not given it over to him. You love your soul too much. What you think is right, that's what you hold on to. You give your energy to be able to fight about the things that you think is right, and you're not willing to let those things go or be reshaped. What you feel like is right. And then you stay on that. And then how you know, everything that you feel on the inside, that you think on the inside, how you view things and how you perceive things, all of you giving all of your energy to that. To resist the truth sometimes. Well, yeah, I understand that's true. You understand that it's true, agree that it's true, and in the same sentence saying, but I don't want to do that. Or, but that don't make sense to me. But this, that, and the other. Yes. Okay. That's where your energy is. That's where it's at. It's right there. Because you get rest when you submit. I'm telling you for a truth. I'm talking about rest. Your soul rest. Your flesh rest. I wish I could go into all that. You get rest. I mean, you get control of this. When you allow God to break you, when you allow God to rake you over the coals, when you allow God to do what he's trying to do unto you, you get rest. But as long as you resist it, you'll be tired. Tired. And you got to fight the tiredness of being tired about what you're fighting in your life in the first place. So you're tired two ways. And we still acting like it's night. But it's not night no more. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not night. It's not night no more. I know we talking about that night season. That night season is up. Meaning the day is here. It's up. The day is here. It might not look like it. It might not feel like it. But the day what? He said what? The day is at hand. Open up your eyes. Get ready to wake up. Get ready to pay attention to the day and what's going to happen in your day and what's going to happen in this day and time in your life. Pay attention. This paying attention going to cost you some of your sleep. Yeah. All that excessive sleep some of us like, it's going to cost you some of that. Yeah. Yeah. You're going to have to give some of that up. Just, hey, look, I'm just going to pay attention. God, what do you want from me? God, what is that you're requiring of me? God, how can I take what you've given me to another level? How? How can I do that? How? What are you really requiring of me? You know, how do I come up under this demand on my life and not rebel against you? Not disrespect nobody and not get all out of order with people. Not walk around mad and upset and walk around and you know, convince myself that I'm better than folks so I can protect myself. Because that's what some of us do. When you get real mad, you say, well, I can see what they're doing wrong. Since I can see what they're doing wrong, I'm better than them. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're not better than them. They're not better than you. It's not even an issue about who's better. It's not even the argument. This not even a part of this. It's not about who's better. It's about the order. Who's in charge? Who telling you to do what? Is this the will of God? And are you going to do it? That's what it's about. Plain and simple. Just cut the bread clean. Cut it, slice it clean. That's what it is. That's just what it's about. And if you can't figure out how you're going to do it, are you trying to figure it out? Wake up. If God is requiring it, then the answer and the provision is there. Wake up, though. Wake up. Wake up. He's been convicting you, dealing with you. He's been doing these things, disrupting your life for a reason. He wants you to wake up and pay attention. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention to your cycles. Pay attention to your cycles. Because your cycles got you stuck in the same thing over and over and over again. Same mindset. How do you break the cycle? The only way to break the cycle is to go up. Meaning you got to be able to stop going around the same mountain and go up. It's time to go upward. Northward. Meaning it's time to mature. It's plain and simple. It's time to mature. Put the games down. Utilize your time more wisely. Do mature. Get busy about what you believe your life's supposed to be like. I'm talking about just naturally, because I know people say, oh, yeah, well, it's time to go to work. Time to go to work. No, no, no. I'm talking about in the spirit, too. I'm talking about in your prayer life, too. I'm talking about in actually some learning God, meaning spending time in the Bible. And if you don't understand it, then you ask somebody to explain some stuff to you. See, I know we, you know, new saints don't do that now. They feel like they can Google it. You can't Google the Holy Ghost. You can't Google the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not on Google.
You came.
The Holy Ghost is the one that's supposed to lead you to the truth of the scriptures, that's supposed to give you the light that you're supposed to have to be able to move forward in God. Amen? And he does that through people around you as well as your own personal devotion to the scriptures. Yeah. Hold up your argument. Don't hold it up to people no more. Take it to the word. Take it to the word. What does the word say about your argument? I know we don't like that. Take your argument to the word. What does the word say? Amen. So you got to wait because of what the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. You got to cast off those things that are related to the dark, to relate it to doing things at night. So you got to cast off the laziness. You got to cast off getting ready to rest because you're not done yet. You got to cast off thinking that your day is up. It's just getting started. You got to cast off, oh, it's time to eat and get full so I can just sit and rest, watch some TV. You got to cast all that off. Cast off that it's day now. It's time when in this particular culture and in these cultures back in the East, daytime was the time to work because it was light. They couldn't really work in the dark. They didn't really have a whole lot of, you know, electricity like that. So they had to work during the day. So while they worked, they said, we got to get as much work done in the day as we can before it gets dark. So now it's time. It's daytime. It's time to work. I mean, it's time for somebody to be in charge of your work, be in charge of what you're going to do, give you a command, give you stuff that you're going to help you to get the work done. It's time for you to collaborate with other people, build relationships so you can get the work done. It's time for you to be a part of a team to get the work done. Whoa. Yes, it's time. It's a good thing. Some of the healing that some of y'all need, you need to pay attention. You've not gotten it at the altar. Come on now. Pay attention. Look at your life. You've gotten the glory. People have laid hands, cast out devils, and everything. The completion of this is your relationship. Your relationship with God and your relationship with people. The completion of what God wants to do in your life is your relationship with him and your relationship with people. It's not the Benny Hinn blow. Nope, it ain't that. Y'all know who I'm talking about. It's not that, meaning it's not nothing mystical. It's going to cause you to work to have to learn how to have a relationship. Amen? So you got to cast off those works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Now, these works of darkness, real quick, it's talking about being asleep, being unconscious, drowsy, resting from fighting. Resting from fighting. Sometimes we want to rest. We want to take a break. I'm tired of fighting my flesh. I'm tired of fighting about this issue. I'm tired of fighting about this. No, that's not a time to rest from the fight. Some fights you got to put more pressure on. And so you know what? Well, we're not going to sleep until we get this straight. Right? Well, sometimes we got to say, you know what? Let's just keep on talking about this until it's right. Until there's a good understanding. Until you hear me and I hear you. We just like to glaze over stuff. Well, we say a little something. And got a false perception that everybody got an understanding because you don't want to deal with it. Dealing with it means I dig into this. And I expose myself of how this is affecting me. And I listen to you. Pay attention. You're fighting about the same things. I mean, for real, pay attention. If you are fighting about the same things, that means the issue is not resolved. We don't want to go through all of the steps that it's going to take of forgiveness and hearing somebody else to compromise and then something being required of you afterwards that you have to, actually change your action. Oh, it's quiet. You got to change. That may have, you may have to change something. So the way I keep myself from change is I just don't talk about it. Oh, Lord, I really did not mean to go into all of this. I really did not mean to go into all of this. Yeah. But that's what you have to realize. Sometimes you just got to keep on talking about it. Till you get it right. Till you get understanding. Till everybody is heard. Until we know what we're going to do afterwards. How are we going to stay away from this? And then we both going to be open for correction from each other in this relationship to not walk in this again. You're not on the same team. I'm not talking about just marriages. There's some friends in here not on the same team. I'm talking about God's team. God's team. When you on his team, you ought to be able to tell your friend the truth. And not fall out. Or if you do fall out, at least love them enough to get it back together after a while. Right. Yeah. That's what I'm telling you. This ain't just about marriages. God is going to deal with that. He's going to use your friend to be like, you know what? I really don't like when you do that. Something that used to be cool, y'all used to do, you're going to be like, you know, God been convicting me about that. We got to change. Yeah, he going to use your friend to be like, no, we got to stop doing this. This is not going to work. And you can't get mad, upset, and be like, now you're trying to act brand new because the saints will throw off on you and be like, oh, you're trying to be deep now. Deflecting the truth. Ain't nobody trying to be deep. We just trying to keep the relationship holy. So I don't cloak your mess and you don't cloak mine. Come on now. Yeah, it is real. It is real. Because when truth is not there, deception is around the corner. When truth is not in your relationships, deception is around the corner. As much as you think, ain't nothing going to happen, man. We good and we've been friends forever and all that. No, that's some deception done. Okay. Let us put on the armor of light. This armor of light is instruments of warfare, weapons of warfare. They're weapons of light. So what are these weapons? We have to pick the right weapon for our fight, right? So if you got to fight against sin in your life, the weapon would be repentance. All right. That's good. Right. That's the armor that you have to put on. If you're saying, okay, I'm trying to change this place in my life, I have to repent. I'm not talking about one prayer. I'm talking about the turn of walking away. The turn of not only walking away, but being convinced now that in my mind and in my heart that this is wrong. That takes time for some of us sometimes, depending on the depth of your deception, of how you may have been deceived. Amen? But you got to pay attention. If you have not really turned from that thing, you've not repented. So I know this is just some straightforward truth. And I know it's hard for us to swallow that straightforward, just that's what it is. But this is what it is. If you've not really turned from this thing, meaning you still think, I'm not talking about your actions. Maybe your actions have changed, but you still think that this is right. And you still kind of think that it's okay. You have not repented yet. And sometimes that repentance, it gets some help from rebuke. Because rebuke helps you to be godly sorrow about this thing. So you can, repentance can be worked in you. Oh, this is a good word. It's a good word. So if it's deception, then I need to put on the armor of truth. If it's pride, I need to put on the armor of humility. Right? Come on, if it's lust, then I have to put on the armor of love. This is what's going to bring the light and cast off the lust. It's going to help me to fight against lust if I begin to operate in love. I have warfare against lust with love. I have warfare against truth or against deception with truth. I have warfare against pride with humility. I have warfare against sin totally with repentance. This is why John the Baptist said, you know what? Tell them, show forth the fruits of repentance when the religious folks came. When the Pharisees came, he said, you vipers, you brood of snakes. What are you doing here? Talking about you want to be baptized. This baptism is for repentance. You don't want to repent. You just want another ritual. You want another service. You just want another pour of his glory. Another pour. The glory requires responsibility. His presence requires responsibility. And he's not always so not easily offended. The Holy Ghost will leave you. Okay, we're not going to go into all that. Meaning if you're not making space for him, if he's not at home in your life, his presence say, well, okay, I'm not welcome there. If I'm not welcome there, then I'm not going to rest there. Come on, give God some praise. Come on, it's tight up in here. It's tight, it's tight, it's tight. It's tight, it's tight. Tell your neighbor, it's tight, but it's right. It's tight, but it's right. It's tight, it's tight, it's tight. But it's all right. So, now he says what? Let us walk honestly. As in the day. Because you know what he's saying here is, when you pay attention to crime, people who commit crime, what do? They do it at night most of the time. So people during the day, everybody honest in the daytime. Right? Because only the real ones that really got some real guts or they really feel like that they really, you know what I'm saying, got some skill would do it during the day. Because they feel like, oh, that deception is big enough to be able to get away with it even when it's light. Yeah, help Nate. Can Nate think he a master criminal? In his mind, I can do it. I get away with it anytime. Anytime, anywhere, any place, any cops, any police, any state troopers, it don't matter. I got a way to get out of it. Yeah. Mm-mm. No, no, no. That's the deception. We have to walk honestly. I mean, you got to walk openly. Look at your neighbor and say, why are you not open? Why are you not open? Why? Why are you not open? Are you afraid of what people are going to see if you open up? How can you be honest and not be open? How can you be honest and not be open? Well, don't get depressed in here now. I rebuke depression in Jesus' name. You're not going to get heavy in here. No, no, no. You're not going to get heavy in here. No. Yeah, we're going to deal with it. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah. If we really pay attention, really, really pay attention, God is shaking you to get you to realize another thing. Why you're not open is because of old issues, old hurts, trust issues that are present, all these different things. You see what I'm saying? And that keeps you from being open, so it keeps you from walking honestly. It sets you up for deception. And when you do close off, see, a lot of us think, well, I could just be open to God but not be open to people. You're already deceived. Deception is already present. I'm going to just be open to God. I'm going to do what God say, but I'm not. God say people. That's what he say. People. That God say people. Yeah, that's what he say. Because you one of the people that he's saying. That's why people keep on coming to you. So God say people. So you can't not be open to people, but be open to God. It sets you up for deception and religion, for a bad spirit of religion to come upon you. Well, you're just looking for another service and another experience and another prophecy and another healing. And you're looking for all of that, but not the requirement of actually loving on the people. You know? That was not why Christ did what he did. He loved on the people. He loved them. Even if it was just to feed them food. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if he had to multiply some food for them, said they're not going to make it back. He didn't say, oh, you got your word. Don't get out my face. I'm not saying that some of us need that. No, I'm not saying that. Some of y'all need that. Because what you've been getting presently has not been working. But what I'm saying is he did not do that to the masses. He didn't do that to the masses. He said, you know, I'm going to take care of them. Okay. So he said, what? Walk honestly. Look at your neighbor and say, walk honestly. As in the day. Walk honestly. Said, not in rioting. Not in letting loose and being unrestrained. Because for some of us, you know, rioting, hey, I get to fight. I've been waiting to fight. If you waiting to fight, you off. Let me just make this plain. Get it plain. If you are waiting to fight, like you're waiting to get into a fight, that is not God. That's called a devil. It's called flesh. That's what that is called. That's not God. You waiting to fight. You waiting to be violent. What if God was waiting to fight you? You know what I'm saying? That's not the mindset of God. Rioting. We're waiting to let loose so we can just do what we want to do. Just this one situation, God, let me just get it out of my system. That's why we always talk about that day, that one day I can get away with everything, right? That 24 hours. I'm going to tell you something. I've got different thoughts about that day now. I'm for real. I want to make it in. I'm being serious. Because I might not come back from that day. That one day, say, well, I get to get away with everything I want to get away with. No, I might not stop. And if I tell the all the way truth, I probably won't. I probably won't stop. If I can go get all the money I wanted to get, I'm going to go get it again. Next time I get broke. If I rob somebody that day to get that money and I got off, I'm going to say, well, look, I'm going to just got to figure out today because that's not the grace day. This is the day I might get caught. So I just got to figure out how not to get caught. But I can still get paid. Yeah. Once you get a taste for something, it's hard to get out your mouth. So don't none of us need that day. That one day caused you to backslide. not rioting, not in rioting. You can't walk in rioting or in drunkenness, being drunk with different things. You know, we don't, might not have a whole lot of drinkers. We got a whole lot of ex-drinkers in here. You know, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Yeah, I'm one of them. Coronas and stuff like that. Coronas was my favorite beer. I'm not Mexican, but Coronas was my favorite beer. And for real, that was one of the smoothest beers that was out there for me. You know what I'm saying? Coronas. Taste nasty, cause all beer is nasty. You know? But that was one of the things for me. But I can't say, you know what, since I'm stressed, let me go get me a six pack. I can't say that. Yeah, a whole six pack. Yeah, a whole six pack. That's about all I was going to do. I was not a drinker. I was a smoker. I used to smoke. So, but that place of not being sober, that's what he's talking about. Not being sober. What has you drunk? Are you drunk with your own opinion? Your opinion causes your judgment to be off and your walk to be unstable. Because that's what happens when you get drunk, right? You can't walk straight. You know? And your judgment off, because you be ready to fight people that you wouldn't have been ready to fight if you was not drunk. You got all sorts of liquid courage and stuff like that. Right? Thinking you can beat people and you already drunk. You already at a disadvantage. You're drunk. Are you not Jackie Chan? You know what I'm saying? You don't know how to fight being drunk. You've not been trained that way. So you're not going to win. But you have to realize this. You're not going to win being drunk in the spirit neither. Not unless it's with the Holy Spirit. If you're drunk with other things, other spirits, other things, meaning they have a full, you know, access to you. And they really influence you. You got to pay attention to what you're open to. And be honest about it. Be honest about it. Stop calling it a different name. Call it what it is. It's called hatred. You don't like people. You say, I don't like people. No, it's called hatred. That's what it is. It's hatred. Yeah, it sounds bad because we want to dress it up. But that's what it is. It's hatred. You know what I'm saying? You can't forgive people. It's called bitterness. You can't. You know what I'm saying? Everybody you see, you're trying to undress. It's called lust. You can't control your eyes. It's called lust. Yeah. Call what it is. Just say what it is. It ain't I'm struggling. It ain't. No, it is what it is. I may be a lust bucket. I'm a lust bucket. I'm full of lust. I don't know what love is. I don't know how to receive it. And I don't know how to give it properly. But I love some lust. And see, we don't want to say that. Oh, I love lust. Oh, there's some people in here love lust. Oh, yes, it is. Love it. You try to downplay it, be like, nah, wait, you know what I'm saying? I'm good. I don't really struggle like that. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You do struggle like that. And it's okay to just say, I'm struggling. I want to see what I can see when I can see it. So I said, what? Not in drunkenness, not in chambering, meaning not in fornication, shacking up. This is what the Bible talks about. When people are like, it ain't in the Bible to shack up. This is the shacking up right here. Chambering. You shacking up, you chambering. Amen? So if you shacking up, or even if you shacking up in your head, as a man think. So he said, put these things away. These are things that, you know, that the works of darkness. Wantonness. Unbridled lust. Shamelessness. Meaning you're not ashamed about your lust. You just like, You looking. And you're not ashamed about not just lusting after people, but you lust after things. You're not ashamed before God about your lust. And that's the whole thing. When you call it something else, it's hard to be shame about something that you didn't identify correctly. It becomes easier to say, well, you know, I'm just struggling. But when you call it what it is, then you be like, well, I don't want to be like, I'm just full of lust. Like, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be known for that. So it starts to bring a shame on you. But wantonness is when you don't care. I don't care what nobody think. I'm going to do whatever I want to do, and I'm going to let my desires lead me to wherever I want to go. So then what he said, not in strife and envying, not in wrangling or contention or debate, not in envying, meaning the excitement of the mind or fervor of the spirit, or an envious and contentious rivalry, jealousy. Right. You jealous of other people. Bring strife. Jealous of what they have, what you think they have, what you think what's going on with them. From your outside perception that you really have no full idea of what's happening with them. You really don't know. But you can be envious of what's going on with an individual and start coveting and want what they have because you think that you deserve it or you think that they should not have it. That's the mindset of envy. Like, they don't deserve that. Like, I do more for God than they do. So what? See, we hate when God bless sinners. But you a sinner, and God bless you too. So what's the difference? Oh, come on, come on, come on. Sometimes we forget about that. You a sinner, you want to be blessed, but God bless sinners. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we hate that because I'm doing better than them. Are you? At least they being truthful with it. I don't want God. I want this. I'm on my last scripture, and this has already been preached, so we're not going to stay here that long. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh. Anytime you make provision for something, you got to pay attention on how you do it. This is why we go to work a certain way. We work a certain amount of hours. You're paying attention to the amount of money you make. You're paying attention to your provision. So when you make provision for your flesh, some of us pay attention to the right kind of situations I can put myself in to be able to fulfill the lust of my flesh. But the only way to get away from this is to do what? Put on Jesus. And just like the man of God said, you got to sink into him. And this is what he's really looking for. God is really looking for immersion. You got to pay attention. Pay attention to what God wants. He wants immersion, meaning he wants the full payment of you. The full payment, all of you. That's the pay. So he can get all of your attention. Amen? Amen. Come on, somebody give God some praise.